Well, in recent weeks, we have been reading around the moment when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and destroyed it. You may remember 2 weeks ago, we read about Jeremiah with the Babylonians right at the gates of Jerusalem. Jeremiah doing a symbolic act of hope by buying a field. Last week we read from the book of Lamentations some poetic words from someone who remains in a ruined Jerusalem and yet sees God's presence there with them. And this week we get words from Jeremiah, one of the people remaining in Jerusalem, written to those who were taken into exile into Babylon. Before getting to what Jeremiah says, let me just say a word about the psalm. I find this psalm really interesting. A lot of the psalms, I mentioned this last week when we were reading Lamentations, a lot of the psalms start with lament, start with things are not going so well or things are really awful, and then move into praise. You know, they start in a dark place, in the valley, and they end up on the mountaintop praising God. The psalm this week has a slightly different formula to it. It starts with praise. Praise God, all of God's wonderful works that we have seen. Then it drifts into lament when it says, "But God has tested us. God has laid burdens on our backs. God has let people run over top of us," which I can't help but think might be a reference to the Babylonians invading, people running over top of us. God has trapped us in a net, which in the context of Jeremiah makes me think of the people in exile, sort of caught up and dragged away. There have been times of suffering and pain, this psalm says. God is wonderful, praise God, but God has tested us with difficult times. He has brought us through fire and water, which is also an interesting phrase. Next Sunday, I will be down at Montreat, the conference center, taking a class on the Holy Spirit and through Columbia Seminary. But these two things, fire and water, are both images for the Spirit at work. Think of the little tongues of flame that appeared on Pentecost or the waters of baptism. And yet, these two images of fire and water can also be destructive things. I'm sure that fire was part of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And water, as any of you know who's ever been in a flood or a storm, can be quite destructive. So the psalmist acknowledges how God or something has tested them through things like invasion, storm, fire, flood. And yet the psalm comes back to praise. That's what's interesting about this psalm. It ends, at least today's reading ends with, "And yet you brought us to a place of freedom." Other translations say a spacious place. And the psalm then goes on to talk about how the writer brings offerings to God and is certain that God's steadfast love never leaves. So the psalm's interesting because it's a real roller coaster. It starts with praise, it goes into the valley of suffering and testing, and comes back up to more praise. The psalm's a beautiful reminder of that sort of emotional roller coaster that faith can take us on. It's similar, I imagine, to the emotional roller coaster those exiles in Babylon were on. I mean, last week, again, we heard words from those who remain in a ruined Jerusalem. But the folks who were taken into exile face a pretty difficult task as well when it comes to faith. Why has God brought us to this foreign land? It may remind you of the Psalm 137, which cries out from Babylon, says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Psalm 137 is also the psalm that ends with reference to bashing the heads of the enemy's children against the rocks. That's one way to approach being in exile. Should the people be vengeful? They're there in the enemy's territory. Should they sabotage the enemy? Should they work to undermine the enemy, the Babylonians, where they are? It's a human impulse. We've been taken by the enemy, and we're going to keep fighting to bring them down. But notice what Jeremiah says in writing to them. Don't do that. Work for the good of where you are. Settle there in this foreign land. Build houses. Get married. Plant gardens. Put down roots. For one thing, Jeremiah says, this letter goes on beyond what Art read for us today. He goes on to tell them, you're going to be there 70 years, multiple generations. So settle down. And then this amazing, I find amazing phrase, he says, promote the welfare of the city in which I have placed you. Promote the welfare of the Babylonians who have taken you into exile. Help them prosper where you are. That's a pretty incredible thing to say to people in exile in the enemy's country, don't you think? Work for the good of the community in which you find yourself. And yet I think this is Jeremiah, well, God, speaking to us as well. Work for the good of the place that I have put you, wherever that may be. After all, we all are in exile in a sense. I mean, our lives in this world are really just a temporary exile from God before we hopefully go to be with God for eternity. And there have been those Christians over the centuries and certain branches of the Christian church who have said, you know, don't do anything in this world. Put your focus on heaven and what is to come. Don't worry about anything in this world. This is all temporary. Just look ahead. But against those folks, here's Jeremiah telling us, no. Work for the good of wherever you are. Promote the welfare of the communities in which I have placed you. The city, the state, the country, the world indeed. You may just be in this world temporarily, but that doesn't mean you should ignore it. Work for good wherever you are. And you may have noticed that I take my sermon title from the preamble to our United States Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, ensure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. It's that promote the general welfare line. That's really what Jeremiah is saying. Work for the good of the places in which I have put you, God is telling us. What does that mean? Well, get involved. Vote. Run for office. Serve on boards. Be good stewards of the places that I have put you and the things I have given you there. Be good stewards of your communities. Serve, do mission, help your communities prosper. That's part of our call as God's children. Wherever you go, wherever I have put you, work for the good of those places It's that idea of leave the world a little better than you found it. That's good civic behavior. But what Jeremiah is saying is that's good godly behavior as well. So just a reminder. I know many of you are already doing this. We can always do better. Find ways to promote the welfare of the places in which you are living. Do good. Help others do good. Leave your communities a little better than you found them. That's God's call to us here in exile. Amen.